Well, all right. As we mentioned in our introduction this morning, we were going to bring a new friend on the program talking about a cause that the award-winning For the People has been very, very active on over the past decade plus. I mean, I recall, you know, 7-8 years ago having U.S. Senator Chris Murphy on the program when he began trying to tackle mental health parity, as well as local and state officials who were dealing with it out of the State House in Hartford. And now we're picking up on that conversation with Christian Damiana. He's a public policy manager with Mental Health Connecticut. And in that capacity, he also leads the Connecticut Mental Health Parity Coalition. Christian, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, John. I'm excited to be here, and I'm so grateful for the work you all have done promoting mental health awareness over the last several years.
So before we get into the subject matter, let's let people get to know you a little bit. What's your background and what fired up your passion to spend your life serving folks that are grappling with and living with mental health issues?
So I work at Mental Health Connecticut, which is a statewide direct care and advocacy organization that has been around for more than 100 years. And in that role, I really got to have a up-close view at one of the worst public health crises in Connecticut and across the country, which is mental health. Mm. And we know everyone has a mental health story. One in five Connecticut residents lives with a mental health condition. That's the population of Stamford, Connecticut's largest city. And so it's touched all of us. You know, everyone knows someone who is going to work or going to school and dealing with a mental health condition and trying to get the care that they need, and often they're unable to. And so for the last couple of years, I've been really privileged to work with a group of mental health clinician groups, such as the Connecticut Psychological Association or the Psychiatric Society or the social workers, as well as with some advocacy organizations like NAMI Connecticut, to go to the state capitol and call on officials to do what they can to make sure all of us can access the mental health care that we need and we're entitled to, so that we can live, you know, whole lives and not have to be struggling without the treatment or the support we need.
Mm. Christian, your passion for the issue is palpable. What's your first connection? When do you recall the first time you kind of made the connection in your head that someone you care about or someone you knew might have some sort of a mental health issue and could potentially benefit from getting support?
Yeah, I think that it's something that unfortunately has become more and more ubiquitous in recent years. I'm a young person. I'm 25. And so when I was in high school, especially, so many of my peers were struggling with mental health conditions, often in somewhat visible ways, because especially around the pandemic, but even before, anxiety has worsened for so many different reasons. Social media, you know, the hours of schooling, how are you going to get into college, really starts to add up and take a toll on these individuals. And that was in a relatively privileged environment, but we know across the state, you know, in other types of settings, those issues are so much worse when people don't have the support that they need in terms of stable housing or, you know, strong employment for their families. And so that was something that really resonated with me. When I worked in Washington, D.C., one of the key issues was relating to a bridge near my apartment where, unfortunately, in just 1 year, three or four people had attempted or completed suicide by jumping off of that bridge. And so we worked with federal officials to finally get nets put under the bridge so that we could try to save some lives. And it was almost radicalizing how challenging it was to do something as basic as put up nets in somewhere that has obviously been a hotspot for this type of activity. You know, it took so long and there were so many barriers. And it makes you think, if that's what's happening for such a simple thing like that, what does it look like when somebody's trying to get care in a crisis? And it's even harder and they have even fewer resources. And so that was quite a learning experience for me.
Yeah, I imagine also that while you have had exposure to individuals who are still on their journey to find support, being involved with Mental Health Connecticut, you have also seen the amazing benefits of the connection to the right support.
That's exactly right. And one of my favorite parts of my job is getting to work with people who are in recovery and help them tell their stories at the state capitol. So every year, many of these people will come with us during budget hearings or, you know, committee discussions about key bills to share how mental health support changed their life and how recovery is possible. And that's just been so empowering for me to hear these stories where their lives were completely upended by this illness. And they were able to overcome this adversity in large part due to real treatment, but also community support, and eventually become an advocate for people like themselves, even as they're continuing to live with, you know, these lifelong conditions. And so that's been a really powerful thing for me to experience. And I think it changes hearts and minds at the state capitol when they meet these people who are talking about that impact.
Parity has been a magic word in the mental health arena, but it's also been, in some cases, kind of like the elusive holy grail. It's talked about, it's pushed forward, it seems like it's getting momentum, and then there are fallbacks or pauses in the initiation effort. Can you help folks understand what parity really means?
Very simply, parity is the opposite of disparity. It's in the word. And so parity means that your insurer must cover mental health the same way it covers physical health. Full stop. The same standards, the same access. If you have a broken arm, that should be treated in the same way that a mental health condition is. And that has been the law in Connecticut for almost 25 years. It's also the national the law. We have had a federal parity law since 2008. But unfortunately, having a law on the books doesn't always mean that that law is meaningful. And so despite the fact that a parity law mandating equal access was passed in Connecticut in 2000, that hasn't been the reality for people across the state. And I don't have to tell your listeners that. Everyone has experienced trying to find a provider, whether for mental health or otherwise, and realizing that there are significant wait lists or delays or struggles getting prior authorization. And all of those things are regulated by Connecticut's parity law. But for the longest time, insurers have been ignoring that law. They have been saying that even though we have these great protections on the books, they're not going to implement them or follow them, and they're not going to change the barriers that we all face. And so that's been very frustrating for many years because the state didn't have the authority to hold them accountable. We had a law, but there was no teeth to that law. And so last year, we were able to come together with the attorney general and the state controller to say, enough is enough. We have to hold these insurers accountable when they're not following the law. And, you know, there have tens of billions of dollars in annual revenue. The very least they can do is make sure that when a Connecticut resident is in crisis, they can access the care that they're entitled to. So we were able to pass a law adding real teeth with very strong bipartisan support, and Governor Lamont signed it into law last July. So we were really glad to now finally have the tools available to fine insurers up to $625,000 per year, knowing that we need to do something to make sure that residents can get the mental health care they need, and this is an important first step.
Well, bringing it back to the individuals on the front line and those who are trying to serve them. On this program, virtually several times each quarter, we either hear from individuals who are living with a mental health issue, an agency, organization, or nonprofit that tries to serve them, or the individual professionals who are out there on the front lines meeting with and trying to assist and support these people. All sides say that they're still experiencing the largest challenge because people can't get the funding, or the funding that is provided through insurance claims cannot pay the bills, or companies make it so challenging for the providers to be able to extract the fees that they need to cover the basic expenses that they have to be able to do their job. Those are the biggest issues. Does the ability to now go after insurers, is that, do you see that that could or is already moving the needle a little bit?
Yes. So that's a very great point that you're speaking to. Connecticut's parity law, the idea that we should be treating mental health and physical health the same, applies to more than just specific coverage issues. One way that it can be applied is in terms of reimbursement rates. So a reimbursement rate is just the amount that a clinician will be paid for the service they provide a patient. And the idea is for a similar type of service, the reimbursement rate should be the same. So if you are seeing your physician for an annual checkup, they are going to get paid a certain amount. And if you're seeing a psychiatrist for a similar type of service, that psychiatrist should be paid a comparable amount because those two doctors have very comparable levels of training and experience. Unfortunately, that has not been the case at all in Connecticut across all types of disciplines. In fact, in many cases, for certain disciplines, providers for medical services are being paid double or even more what a mental health clinician is being paid. And so that's unacceptable. I think one really good example was that an orthopedic surgeon is being paid 159% of the Medicare standard rate. A social worker is being paid just 72% of that rate. So they're being paid even less than what the standard should be for that service. And what happens is when you're paying mental health clinicians at half the rate of other specialists, you're going to get smaller networks. You're going to get smaller wait, longer wait times. And even worse, more people who are having to pay out of pocket for the care that is supposed to be covered. And so over time, it has really just reduced the amount of mental health clinicians who are willing to participate in insurance networks because the insurers are constantly putting up barriers saying, we're going to fine-tooth comb every single thing you submit and look for errors so we can deny your claim. Or we're going to pay the claim and a year later come back and say, we shouldn't have paid it and we're taking the money back. Justification for why it's necessary. And all of that has just really turned off clinicians from wanting to be a part of insurance networks because they're not even being paid fairly in the first place. And so that's been very, very dangerous to Connecticut's mental health system. For the first time, Governor Lamont and the new insurance commissioner, Josh Hirschman, have decided to hold insurers accountable specifically for that activity. So they said these disparate reimbursement rates are in themselves a mental health parity violation, and we're going to hold insurers accountable for it. So we were really, really glad to see that. It's the first use of our new parity law, and I think a really bold statement that Governor Lamont is going to stand behind mental health clinicians and make sure that insurers are treating clinicians and patients alike fairly.
But is a $600,000 fine, I mean, you know, to you and me, that seems like an astronomical amount of money today. But in the landscape of the billions and billions of dollars, each of these five individual companies are making in profits, in some cases, you know, through their practices. Does that make a difference?
That's been an important discussion at the state capitol for many years, is what is the appropriate amount to fine these insurers when we know the damage they're doing to patients is so astronomical in terms of out-of-pocket costs, but also the consequences of not getting care. And the answer is there's really no amount of money that you can fine insurers that is going to really hurt them in the way that people might want to. You know, when you're making tens of billions of dollars in profit every year, the state would have to find massive, massive amounts of money. But we're not necessarily focused on what is the right amount of money that's going to hurt the insurer or hurt the bottom line. We're really looking at how do we change their behavior. And so until last year, the fine amount was basically a rounding error. The maximum fine was $15,000, which if you can imagine is literally nothing to an insurance company of this scale. So we increased it by 4,000%. So definitely a very large increase and something we can be happy about. But it's not just how are we going to punish the insurer. Mm. It's how are we going to make sure that the insurers stop their current behavior and start covering people in the way they deserve. And so we have a system now where not just will Governor Lamont be fining the insurers, but he can, through this process, also require them to change how they're approaching these issues. And so our hope is not just that he's going to levy a substantial fine, but that also he's going to say, from now on, you need to start paying your mental health providers fairly, and you need to tear down these barriers to mental health care. And then he can make them sign a contract saying they're going to do it. And so we view that as a really important move to not just change the math or the profit margins, but really change their behavior.
Hmm. In a time when many, if not most, insurers that are covering healthcare are providing a no-cost annual wellness visit, and they are finding that that is profitable because it is identifying issues that would have an extravagant multiplier down the road if the issues that were not caught in those wellness visits are not dealt with more immediately. How is it that this is not being found to be the case or being brought forth as evidence for the same type of behavior when it comes to insuring individuals seeking mental health care?
That's a really great question. I think first we know prevention works. And so in the physical side of things, we've seen that annual physicals have really helped people identify potential issues early and intervene with real strategies that can help. And so, yes, we should be applying those same principles to behavioral health care, but insurers haven't been. Step one is we need to get behavioral health screenings into annual physicals. You know, that's the main time each year where a patient will interact with a clinician. And it's really important to assess them for potential behavioral health conditions because not everyone is always showing symptoms in a very visible way, or not everyone sees themselves as someone who would have a mental health condition. They may say, not me. And so it's really important for physicians to assess somebody and say, you're not just having a tough time at work or struggles with paying the bills. It seems that you're meeting some of these symptoms of depression. And that's something we need to talk about and treat early. So that's really important. Mm. But also, insurers need to be doing more across the board in terms of behavioral health prevention and early intervention. There are a lot of business reasons for why they might not be doing that. In a large part of it being that they feel they don't necessarily need to invest in a patient because 5 years from now, they might be covered by a new insurer when they get a new job. And so, sure, it would reduce costs in the long term, but it's reducing costs for somebody else. And that's a really dangerous view. And I think insurers need to recognize that they play a really important role in the health of everyday people. We can't just be treating people as numbers or as budget line items, but we really need to be thinking about them holistically, knowing it can save money down the line, but also there's such a human cost here that needs to be considered. And I think that's something that hopefully over time insurers will learn to uplift.
Well, as we move through Mental Health Awareness Month here in May, I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you, Christian. We realize that people still need care. As you pointed out, the equivalent population of the city of Stamford represents the number of people that we believe are identified with mental health concerns in Connecticut. The number may actually be measurably larger. But here we are in Connecticut. We're a precedent setting and a national leader when it comes to mental health law. If we could leave you in this last minute that we have with any directive or suggestions to our listeners on how they can make a difference, what would it be?
Individual people are what move the needle on policy. We can have lobbyists at the state capitol or policy experts saying something needs to change, but what really influences what happens in Hartford are people speaking to their individual legislator and telling their story. My son had a mental health condition. I myself have struggled with substance use issues. That's what really makes legislators view an issue as important. And I think it's really an easy way to get involved is even just a simple email to your legislator or popping up at one of their coffee hours in the district can make a huge difference. And so the next legislative session is going to start in January, which seems like a long time away, but people are going to be fresh off of their reelection campaigns and looking at how can we make a difference for people in Connecticut. And when we know so many people are struggling, so many people can't get the mental health care they need, the legislature needs to act. And it's an important time for all of us to tell legislators the work isn't finished. We're leading the country and we're still not doing well enough. And we need to do more in terms of making sure insurers can't block access to care on things like using artificial intelligence to deny claims or interpreting medical necessity standards in a way that leads to denials, even though people clearly need care. So it's an important time to make a difference. And we all have a role to play in supporting our neighbors and making sure that people understand at an interpersonal level that their lives have value and that recovery is possible.
Well, thank you for lending your voice to our program to try to get the word out and communicate the challenges that we're still facing here, even though we're one of the leading states in the nation when it comes to mental health care and parity. Christian Damiana is the public policy manager with Mental Health Connecticut, and in that capacity, he also leads the Mental Health Parity Coalition. Great conversation this morning, Christian. Thank you so much for being part of the show.